It's hard to talk about this stuff because in our language, we have so confused the issues and the words, like because the King James was in a kind of a Puritan era, they used the word lust in the scripture. Every time it said desire, every time you want something, it's to desire something. Well, whenever King James come across that, then most of the time they use the word, I mean, if it had anything to do with it, they thought it might be sexual, they put lust. Because they probably didn't have any gonads or something, who knows. But anyway, there's no distinction in the scriptures about whether it's wanting a piece of cream cheesecake or wanting a piece of something else. You understand? It's wanting more than you have. There's a great word for that in parts of the New Testament. It's called concupiscence. Concupiscence simply means you want more than you have at any given moment in time. Everything in this life that senses is based on all systems of community and all systems of government and all systems of all kinds of human stuff are all based on the fact that you want more than you have at any given moment. And by that, by you wanting more than you have, whoever it is that's in power can lead you around like you're a cow led to slaughter. The act of wanting is the act that makes you susceptible to everything. You understand? You are susceptible to all of the advertising gimmicks. You are susceptible to all of the anything because you want more than you have. You're susceptible to all the crooks in government. You're susceptible to, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. You want more than you have, therefore you're susceptible to manipulation.
I read the papers still, and there's all these humongous ads in the paper. I never really consciously noticed that the newspapers about 80% ads. And it's so nice, before I'd read them, say, oh, there may be a good deal on some clothes that I need or something. I spend all this time reading these dumb ads, especially on the weekend. Now it's like I don't have an option to buy the stuff, so I don't even have to worry about reading ads.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm not subject to advertisers as much.
Yeah, I mean, you understand, I've talked this about television, maybe you haven't seen it about the print media or about newspapers. The stuff in the advertisement isn't the product being advertised. You are the product being advertised. That's how they make money. They don't make money from subscription. They make money from the statistics, the demographics about you that they sell to the people. So that makes you the product. And you're a product to be bought and sold on the tables of commercialism because you desire. Because you're an idiot.
Well, like, even at work, how I pick a magazine if we're going to advertise in, they give you all the statistics and it says 70% of our readers this year are going to buy seed development tools. Who cares what that is? I say, oh, those are the people I want to advertise to. So I buy space in that magazine, so I buy those readers.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, that makes them the product. The people, you and I, are the product, not the stuff being advertised. If you have a catalog at your house, which I know you have several, the things in that catalog aren't the product that's being bought and sold. You are the product that's being bought and sold. You are being manipulated to buy by attractive presentations, etc. You are being manipulated. You have already been sold the moment you accepted that catalog in the mailbox. You then became the product. You were bought and sold at that moment. Let's take the Dallas Morning News that he works for and Crystal works for. They sell the paper, a daily paper, 25 cents per copy. It cost them about 56 cents per copy to make that paper. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. To do the printing and the hiring of the reporters and everybody, it cost them over slightly over twice the amount that they sell the paper for. That means that they are either very benevolent and want you, they want it. They want you to get the news, and the Belos is such a nice group of people that they want you to have the news, or something else is going on. What's going on is... That's right. What's going on is they sell you to the advertisers. Same in the radio, same in the magazines. That's where the radio station gets its money, by selling you to the advertisers. The science is called demographics. You understand this? Please, hear me. But hear this also. If you could live for a moment without wanting more than you have, the system would crumble. The thing that fuels the God of this world fuels the engine is your desire. That's the fuel for this world. That's what makes this world go around. It's not money, it's your desire. Now, I'm here to tell you, your desire is a lie. It doesn't matter. You can't have any valid desire. I mean, Kimberly now is all involved in earth causes. And it's, you know, that's probably more valid in a very limited sphere than, you know, being a proponent of a slaughterhouse or something. But it really isn't in the end result. It's only a different form of idolatry that is using your desire in order to do something.
That interest is a very valuable commodity to be sold because you can highly target to that.
Yeah, and there's a great deal of money being made in the New Age movement by the magazines and the other things that target people who have that idolatry. Just as there's a great deal of money being made in the rest of it who target another idolatry. But the point of it is, in all of it, you are the product. No matter what you think your belief system is, you are the product because you desire more than you have. That, then, is the third lust, the third thing, the senses. That, you remember, the first one is wanting to be king or God. The second one is this pride of life. And the third one is desire itself. The idea that you would want more than you have is the ultimate evil. It's that which fuels all other sin within you. It causes you to be in a state in which you cannot be content. It causes you to be in a state which you must constantly gad about to change yourself. You must tinker with everything to try to adjust your frame of reference. Everybody is in that state of being. Now, how do you get out of it? Well, you understand this battle. The five senses are at battle against the four kings. The first thing that has to happen, who has to win it? You remember? Go back there. We'll go back to Genesis. Okay, somebody count the two battlers here. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel. Now again, remember we studied this before, but I don't know if I told you this. There are many that believe Amraphel was Nimrod. Some of them say it was Nimrod's successor, but that's another story. It came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. Okay, what are those four? There's four, right? They're the desires. That these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, with Bersha, king of Gomer, with Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Five senses against four desires. Who do you think is going to win the battle?
I thought they all lost.
Not yet, they didn't. Who was going to win this battle? Okay, go to verse 17. The Sodom was who? Who's Chedorlaomer? Which is he? Which group is he in?
He's a sense.
Huh?
He's a sense.
He's a sense, right?
No, Chedorlaomer is.
Who is he?
He's one of the four. King of Sodom is one of the senses.
Okay, who's Chedorlaomer?
King of Elam.
And who is he? Which group?
The four.
Okay. And the king of Sodom went to out to meet him, who?
Abram.
After his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. In other words, who won the war?
The senses.
The senses won. The senses came out best. The senses won over the desires.
What I meant to say was,
how can that be? Your own experience up till now, for the most part, unless you're getting old, is that your desires will always win out over your senses.
Yeah.
Well, because it starts to, your ability to fool yourself breaks down over time if you're lucky and if God intervenes and the Spirit intervenes. And your senses tell you how foolish it is.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
It's even over things like that you could desire that you have no control over, like cocaine, like heroin, like food. What eventually will happen in a normal kind of being once, well, let me put it this way. Once Abram or once Israel or once God stuff has begun to enter into the picture, your desires don't have a chance. And you're not going to like that, for the most part. Do you understand me? Am I boring you at all?
No.
I can understand the significance of the senses. It's hard for you to grasp senses.
It's evidence.
Evidence.
After the flesh, like we
the senses. The senses.
Like your body.
What are your senses? Apart. Your sight,
touch,
smell, hearing.
Tasting
are the five senses. The fact is that the senses will win out over the desires. How does that mean? What does that mean?
I was up here on the roof the other day and I was thinking about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when I still thought, you know the thing you said somebody tells you when you're a kid, you think the options are unlimited. 15 years ago, I still thought that I had a career that was going up. And that, gee, someday I could be president, or I can do this, or I can do that. And my body was going to last a long time, and all those kinds of things. And the 15 years or so since that time, the evidence is that I'm a failure. My body's falling apart. You know, my hair's gone. I've got wrinkles all over my face. I'm an old man. I can't do. I can envision things to do. Every day I envision things to do, and I can't do them. I just get tired.
So
the evidence is that none of that is real.
Yeah, your senses.
My future is not unlimited.
Okay. Do you all understand what I'm talking about a little bit?
Yes.
Do you still not understand?
It seems like on different planes. You got your senses, it seems like there's one thing, it's like apples and oranges. I don't see how that relates to the design.
It says a lot about.
But I can't You can't put the two together in the same thought.
Yeah, they have to be integrated.
Yeah.
You're not two different things. You're one thing that has those characteristics. You're a being, huh?
If you can't sense your desire hasn't been satisfied.
Like if you desire a beautiful
woman. It's like you say, I'm going to get a beautiful woman. Unless you get your hands on her, she don't count. Okay? Even when you get your hands on her, after a certain amount of time, she's not a beautiful woman anymore, or you're bored with her. So, the sense now is saying to you...
The desire, the sense has won over the desire. Like in this case, and it has to go, depending, who knows why. With me, it had to be perceptual. I had to, in order for me to know that money was meaningless, I had to have a lot of money. Whatever it was that I thought I wanted, I had to get in order for it to,
yeah.
In order for the senses to win over the desire.
So you can never have dominion over desires until you can touch them?
That's right. Or until you can empathize, you know, see it as an empathy. You have the capacity to empathize. You don't have to always...
Yeah, I kind of like Chinese baseball or something. Senses to me just seem like one dimensional cardboard thing you don't touch. Big deal. What's that thing you touch? But desires just seem like this morass of pull and strength and power. I don't see how the two are anything to do with one another. Now, I kind of understand what Daryl's saying, but I don't think I understand the emotion.
Okay. Part. Well, let's take some experiences from your own life. Excuse me, we have to concentrate on this.
This is the slow
media corner.
This is the
remedial.
You know,
as
I sit in the back of the room, I'm the slow learner.
We're glad you asked this
question. For the sake of everyone else.
Yeah.
Y'all can leave and take a break.
I remember when you left to go to Baylor.
The risk you take is asking questions. You're starting to
ask. This
is for us. Just
take my dirty laundry out.
Suppose, just suppose you'd gone to Baylor.
Ask a friend who went to Baylor. Let's put that.
No. Remember when you went to Baylor and you thought, with all your evidence thus far, and what you thought was the desire that far, that you were going to go there and you were going to do something with regard to business and you were going to major in accounting. Okay, that desire had a point. It had a starting point. It probably was your father, but it doesn't matter. You still desired to take that course of action. You got down there, and in about 3 weeks, it was total disaster, and you knew for a certainty that desire had lost, and it lost to the senses. What you experienced. Okay? Okay, if you could just, if you don't understand what I'm talking about with your senses, talk about experience.
Yeah.
You can only experience with senses. You can desire. Desire has the component of future. Okay? So you have to bring the desire, i.e. the future, into the present. Only way you have that to do that is the senses. To touch it. Whatever it is, to experience it. My experience, from the time I could think, I knew that I wanted to be some kind of a doctor. It varied from surgeon to a regular doctor to psychiatrist. Anyway, because I had grown up in that environment, I got close enough to it, and I said, I don't want to be a doctor.
Well, it just struck me when you said you have to touch it, to experience it. You have to experience the vanity of it. That's the trick. That's what happened to Eve. Eve added to it and said, no, I can't touch that shining golden fruit or whatever it was. So it had power over her because she couldn't touch it. Had she just reached out and touched it and picked it up and looked at it and smelled it and even tasted it without eating it, it would have lost its power.
Well,
she
except,
would have seen the vanity.
Yeah, but there the problem was is that she had misunderstood the scriptures,
right,
or what God had said. You cannot eat of it or touch it lest you die. So she touched it. She didn't die.
Yeah, but if she touched it during a trick. What I'm saying is,
lay your hands on it. Dominion.
Serpent, right, before the serpent entered in, to just reach out, lay your hand on it, and see that it's...
Okay. Hear me. This is important to you. You, in every case with the Battle of the Kings, this battle of the kings isn't it doesn't just happen to God stuff people. This battle of the kings is going on constantly in every person's being. Do you understand it? They forget that they lost the war, though. And so they're going, I mean, it's like, I mean, yeah, they got it. I mean, whether, if I mean, it's like,
well, they restrict one of the senses. It's like if there's some kind of law in them that says, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Right.
I really, really want you, but I can't do that.
Okay. Okay, does everybody understand basically what this battle between the senses? Do you understand that it's not theoretical?
Yeah.
It has to take place. Now comes the mystery. I'm not going to go, we're going to go through this a little bit later, but now comes this deal where the senses have won out over the desires.
You know you're going to turn into a magnet.
Then what happens? The needs are automatically met once you've enjoined this battle with knowledge. Because then you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these needful things will be made unto you. If necessary, Melchizedek personally will come and feed you. Okay, but listen. What happens now? What is the highest form of sensory perception that man can know? Senses, the highest that sense can take you.
Yeah.
What's the highest that sense can take you? Is reason. Reason.
Reason.
No, hear me, listen, this is important. There's nothing else that can stand the test except reason. That's the highest that senses can take you. This is the same battle. Remember that we talked about Abram when he thought that he woke up from, he got out of the cave, he'd been in the cave for 10 years, he looked up, he saw the moon, and he said, aha, that must be the God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then he waited a while, and the moon left. Then the sun must be the God. Then the constellations must be the God. No, and then they left. Something has to be, and then all kinds of philosophies had to be the God. All kinds of opinions had to be the God, but they changed. Everything will change by the senses except one, reason. Reason is right. That's why we have made in the Western world all of the scientific advances is because of the scientific method, which demands reproducibility by an external third person. You understand? Reason can take you to the highest you can go, and we're starting to reach it in science. The highest we can go in reason is disorder. It's chaos. Okay. Now, what spiritually the way to say that is, come now, let us reason together, though your sin be as scarlet. The highest you can go with reason is my sin is as scarlet. The highest I can know, you can't get to repentance. You can only know, you can only get to suicide.
It's true.
You see the progression from desire to senses to experience to reason to my sin is a scarlet.
Total despair.
Total despair. That process is inexorable. It's not negotiable. And if it isn't true in every element of society, it's true in no element. If it isn't true in every element of your own experience, it is true in none of them.
And that's where God wants you to be.
That's where God is taking you. That's where all human race is going to. Your sin is a scarlet. I am the chief of sinners. I am the Antichrist himself. Then you run to the cross. It's at that point you abandon yourself. If you run to the cross before the fact that my sin is as scarlet, then every move, you may see it as one area, but you will see sin only as failure. That's what you, no matter what your theology is, in your mind you will see sin as failure. If you had succeeded, it wouldn't have been sinful. You have to, therefore, experience has to continue. Therefore, God has to allow time to continue for a while longer because he's not willing that any of you should perish, but that all should come to true repentance. I mean, do you really think that I believe any of you, none of you know what sin is. You only know what failure is. When you know what sin is, you'll stop negotiating. When you know what sin is, you will never again complain about anything. When you know what sin is, you can say with the psalmist, it would suffice us. It would suffice us. At every moment, it would suffice us. Therefore, you can come into this incredible mystical state of being in which you find yourself content. I find, therefore, in whatsoever state I am, I therefore am content. If I'm in a state of want, it doesn't matter. If I'm in a state of fulfillment, it doesn't matter. Whatsoever state I find myself, therewith I am content. Do you understand? A little bit. Does everybody? Listen. I have learned. The word learned is a technical term, and it's a meaningful word in that you have learned it by experience. You've experienced this act. I have learned. See, learn is a cheap word in English. You understand the word in learn? The word learn in Hebrew means, it means that what you learned replaced you. It cost you your life to learn that. It cost you everything you knew about yourself at that point to learn. There was an exchange. In English, it's an added thing to you. That's why most of you can't remember anything. That's why really most of you don't know anything. It's because you've learned this stupid American way now that says you can add knowledge to you. You can acquire knowledge. No, you can't. The moment you try to acquire it as a believer, it'll all leave you. And you're left with, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Can you hear that? That's the greatest state of being there is possible. It means there's no place on the face of the earth that you'd rather be than the place you are at this moment. It means there's no set of circumstances that could possibly exist on the face of the earth except the ones that you're in at that moment.
And by using the word learned, he's saying I have
experienced
through a whole bunch of times and a whole bunch of stuff that this is the case.
Amen. Now, the thing that really infuriates God, really infuriates me, really infuriated Paul, is when you were with someone who had already learned that, but didn't act as they learned, as if they learned it.
Oh, yeah.
Who still said, I want to go to Maui, or I want to go here, or I want to go there, or I would like to have a big something of this. Yeah. Do you understand? Then by the words of the mouth, all of God's experience with you is meaningless. And so I want you to carefully judge your words. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or has indigestion. You hear me? I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. All God wants from you. That's the evidence that the gospel is manifested within you.
That seems like the bottom line of the vow, the eternal
That's it. To know that you do not have to be controlled by those stupid little things, to know that you are not going to sell your birthright for a mess of pottage. Again, it's so neat to know that in that state you're content.
It is really strange. It's thousand a really strange process of things just almost dissipating.
Amen.
Things that seemed important. It's not like bam, they went away. It's just like, yeah. It's like fading dream.
But you see, this is every other, again, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Everywhere, at all things, at the same moment. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're having your hunger or not hunger. For I have learned in whatsoever state of being I find myself therewith to be content. Now, have you not learned that yet? Do the battle of the senses versus the battle of the desires have to rage more? Because I promise you they'll rage more violent. You can't know what you now know and get by with what you've gotten by with in the past. What you now know, what you did yesterday, now would be blasphemy. You understand me? Read the New Testament. Read the Pauline epistles. See how much of it is addressed to this issue of desire and the stupidity of it. Now, I can give you some pretty good hints of what's going to befall you. All right, and we find it out by studying Abraham. This is like a...
This is a point of confusion. It's like, if... How does following your bliss, as you put it, how does that fit in?
You're following your bliss only brings you to vanity. You don't have any bliss. That's only the illusion of the senses or the desires to bring you to the point to and so that the battle can be enjoined. We're only talking now to people who have done this, who have left the world. The people in the world that are living in their constraints have never, ever entered into this battle. Follow your bliss wasn't my words, it was Joseph Campbell's. You only follow your bliss so the battle can be enjoined, so the violence can be made manifest. Capisce? That's the quickest way to get the battle over with so that it doesn't control you anymore. The only problem is once the battle's over with, then you got to put up with about 100 other people's battles. Then it's not even necessarily over with because then he keeps zinging you with new things you didn't even know were there.
Yeah, we noticed that.
It ain't going to be perfected in the flesh.
Amen. First thing that has to happen is you have to leave your land. Second thing is you have to leave your family and all the gods of your family. Do you understand? No family, including one that's in this community, has the right gods. Angela's battles are just as great as mine were or yours were. Because she has to too leave the value systems of her parents, because her parents got 60 jillion things. Kimberly has to leave the value systems of her family, both her mother and her dad. She's got two families she has to leave from.
Double.
You have to leave your family's idolatries. Then you have to enjoin this battle, senses versus desires, so that you're not following your senses or your desires, you're following only God. Then you have to separate from Lot, who represents your possessions, so that, because you and your possessions cannot both fit in the promise. Then you have to give up plans for Ishmael, who's the natural you, you after the flesh, till you never again can conceive of a career plan for the flesh. Then you have to finally cast out the bondwoman and her son. You have to cast this thing out that's been trying to cause you to have the plans. And finally, you have to offer up the promise itself. You have to offer up Isaac with the knife ready to go down. Then you can abandon self. What time is it?
7:30.
Yeah. Let's go sit outside for a while.
It's a lot of thinking.
Take it, big guy.